Let's handicap the Federal Reserve's impending decision about economic stimulus. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. Round about mid-afternoon Eastern time today, the policy team at America's Central Bank is expected to announce a little less stimulus. How much less? We'll see, but there's a consensus in financial markets this morning that the Fed will turn down its bond buying by maybe 10 or 12%. Paul Dales, a senior U.S. economist at Capital Economics in London.
I think the Fed will decide to buy around $70 or $75 billion of assets a month, which would be a small reduction from its current purchasing profile of $85 billion a month. But it's worth remembering, it is still supporting the economy just by less than previously.
That seems to be a consensus view, reducing by about $10 billion. Now, if there's some surprise, upward or downward, you could see markets move.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter that much. We're talking about $5 billion a month or $10 billion a month, which is really not that much when you compare it to the Fed's balance sheet, which is nearing on $4 trillion. But tinkering at the margin with these kind of things can make the markets move. So if it's different, then perhaps there will be some market reaction.
Now, we've been talking cold, hard numbers here. It's also possible that Fed Chairman Bernanke might say something at his news conference after the two-day meeting that gives a sense of how many bonds he'll be buying moving forward. That could also move markets.
Bernanke will try and stress that even though the Fed is going to be buying fewer and fewer bonds, it's not going to raise interest rates anytime soon. So that's the key point, and I think Bernanke will try and stress that.
Paul Dales at Capital Economics in London. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now let's do the numbers. The Shanghai Composite Index went up 0.3%. The FT100 in London right now up 0.2%. S&P Dow and NASDAQ futures are up. The yield on the U.S. 10-year note is at 2.85% going into the second day of the Federal Reserve meeting. Now on to our Social Security numbers and who has them. As we wrap up a summer of worries about the extent to which the NSA invades privacy at the official level, it's always worth a reminder that the 9-digit code that governs so much of our official lives can be vulnerable to non-official hacking if we don't protect it. Patty Hirsch, Marketplace's senior producer of personal finance, welcome.
Hello, David.
So how big a problem is the security issue surrounding our Social Security number? I typically type it in and you only see the last four digits, but you think it's still insecure?
Well, even that's a little insecure, yeah. And you know, I know that national security has been trumping personal security recently, but the theft of Social Security numbers is still a very big problem. In fact, in many ways, it's a problem that's gotten worse because fraudsters have found ways to steal specific information about people. So while in the past identity theft might have been random, today they can actually tailor identity theft, stealing a specific person's identity.
Has it gotten easier to do this?
It has. Firstly, because the technology has gotten better. So the hackers have become really, really smart and sophisticated. They're on the cutting edge of technology, whereas the people that they're stealing the data from, which is large corporations generally, just can't hope to have countermeasures in place. You know, they move too slowly to defeat hackers, and it's also too expensive to keep updating systems. Secondly, your data is in so many more places today than it was in the past.
Well, it's true. It is certainly not just with the Social Security Administration or even at the bank, right?
No, indeed. You know, your phone company's got it. Your real estate agent's got it. Your insurance company. Pretty much anyone who provides a service to you these days will run a credit check on you, which means they hold that Social Security number. And when they're done with those checks, you see, they don't destroy the number. They just hang on to it and stuff it in a database somewhere. And hackers can just jump in there, find that information, take it out, and sell it on.
Now that I'm quaking with fear, hiding under the anchor desk, is there anything one might do about this?
Well, you know, you can try to avoid using your number. It is kind of like pushing a string uphill. It's a little difficult, but don't give it up easily. Ask your service providers if they'll agree to use some other method to authenticate you, like a password or a PIN number. The Social Security Administration says that you should interrogate pretty much any service provider, apart from a lender or a government organization or your employer, who wants to take your number. And insist on asking and getting an answer. You know, how they're using your information and protecting it. Making them think twice about how they're handling such an important piece of data is a very useful thing for you to do.
Patty Hirsch, senior producer of personal finance here at Marketplace. Thank you for this.
Thank you, David.
We'll be right back. talk to digital media experts, and they'll tell you that one way to get notice is to put information in the form of a slideshow or a list. This is something Forbes magazine is known about for more than 30 years. Look at its Forbes 400 list of the richest rich that came out this week. Shannon Mullen looked into how some consider lists like these information junk food.
Bill Gates is the richest man in America for the 20th year in a row. No surprise there. But it's not suspense that draws readers to the Forbes 400 list. People like to read about people, says Forbes wealth editor Lisa Krall.
So many of the people at the tops of our lists are behind the companies that we're buying from. The Walmarts of the world, Microsoft.
And advertisers like sharing pages with those companies on glossy paper and the web. But for readers...
Well, lists are like cotton candy. They're ephemeral, but they're very satisfying.
Sid Holt heads the American Society of Magazine Editors.
They have an appeal that is so immediate, so grabbing. I don't know anybody who doesn't like a list.
Holt says it's an important tool for organizing information, even if the information's not exactly important. Besides the 400 list, on its website, Forbes also ranks the top-earning dead celebrities. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
And did you see the average age of the Forbes richest 400? 66. Zuckerberg at Facebook is not the youngest. He's 8 days older than his old Harvard roommate, Dustin Moskovitz, who was born in 1984. Most mature, 97-year-old David Rockefeller Sr. in New York. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.